You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 6th of December 2019. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, I am very pleased to say that we have with us today our old friend and comrade from Radio Albion, Grandpa Lampshay. Grandpa, good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
Doing all right. It just isn't the Friday installment of Clown World in Review unless you get the Longshanks Lampshade tag team effort. It's just not the same. We can pull it off solo, but it's just not the same. The bants aren't as great, aren't as fresh. So yeah, it's great to have the dream tag team back together and reviewing the clownish material of the week.
Did you have a good time off over your Thanksgiving? Was it worth not recording the podcast?
Well, I mean, it's always a great sacrifice to not be to not get to do Clown World in Review. But I committed the sin of gluttony over Thanksgiving. I really did. I ate so much. It was just all so good. And I ate so much. I literally started to make myself sick. It was horrible. It was nice, but it was also kind of horrible in a way.
Well, you would think, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, our listeners would think, well, we're very, very thankful for Radio Albion and all the work Sven Longshanks does there. I think we'll send some donations to the Bitcoin wallet. And no, the Bitcoin wallet's empty. It's been empty for over a month now, which isn't really that good. You know, we've got bills to pay. We've got server bills to pay. The actual server bills, we got 5 servers that we're running, and the costs have doubled as we've moved into broadcasting live video with Mark Collette's show. I'm wondering what's going on. Normally we've got donations going in there, but people just seem to have given up on donating. So I'm glad to have a chance to bring that up here before we actually get into the podcast. So those of you that can use Bitcoin and know how to do that and can afford to, it would be much appreciated if you would send some our way. Anyway, with that over and done with, let's get into today's news story, which comes out of Sweden, that beacon of humanitarian hope that is the Nordic country Sweden, the center of the Islamization of Europe. A church in Malmo has a new altarpiece meant to celebrate inclusivity by replacing Adam and Eve in paradise with gay couples in suggestive poses while depicting the serpent tempting them as a transgender woman. And even that is not properly descriptive of this, because these homosexual couples are also mixed race couples, black and white in these suggestive poses. I guess we can be thankful that they aren't actually sodomizing one another. But this is on the altar, draped over the altar in the Church of Sweden, and they've actually chosen to put it in the Islamic center, the Malmo, the place where they have all these terrorist attacks and grenades go off, bombs go off, police stations get blown up, the police won't go anywhere near there. And I do wonder if this isn't part of an attempt to troll the Muslims by putting this in there. But of course, the Muslims are never going to go in the church anyway. But this is such a blasphemy, but we should expect this from the Church of Sweden. It was only a month or two back when they declared that Greta Thunberg was the second coming of Christ. I'm just amazed at how far Sweden will go with this. It's just like there's no stopping them. There's no brakes on this gay train. What do you make of this, Grandpa, this new altarpiece?
I can't imagine sitting in your church and they unveil this thing, and nobody gets it. I mean, literally, I would literally get up, walk up there, pick it up, and smash it in front of everybody. I mean, they can call the police. I don't care. I mean, at some point in time, you know, I mean, enough is enough. But no, everybody sits there politely. Everybody sits there quietly. Can you imagine them doing a wonderful work of art depicting the Prophet Muhammad as a homosexual sodomizing somebody, you know, and unveiling it in a mosque? No, they wouldn't do that because they know. I mean, you have to hand it at least to the Muslims. I mean, they'll stand up. This is why the doormat mentality has had to be instilled. This is like a test to see how thoroughly indoctrinated the modern church is when it comes to the doormat mentality. And here it is. I mean, they unveil something, you know, just really, I mean, I guess you can't say it's not actually depicting God, but this same artist has done some out and out blasphemous artwork, and they present it here, and everybody sits there quiet. Wouldn't want to be. Jesus wouldn't want us to cause a ruckus. Never mind making a whip out of cords. Yeah, I'd be taking my shoelaces off, making me a whip. Somebody's getting drove out of here. You know, I mean, at some point in time, is there no outrage? Where's the outrage? You know, Jesus got outraged, drove the money lenders, the money exchangers out of the temple. But no, everybody's a good modern church cuck, and they just sit there quietly. We got to be polite. It's what Jesus would do. Sickening.
You know, the Muslims won't even allow depictions of Muhammad, let alone a mocking picture of Muhammad. They've been known to shoot people. They shot up the Charlie Hebdo offices. They tried to shoot up a Draw Muhammad competition that they had over there. I think it was in Texas a while back. They won't even stand for any representation of Muhammad, let alone a homosexual representation of Muhammad. I am wondering how they depicted this transgender serpent. I mean, what are they saying? Are they saying there that transgenders aren't exactly like the gender they are pretending to be? I mean, it seems to me that they're admitting that by the fact that you can tell that this serpent is actually transgender, or maybe they've done it genitals and all. But I couldn't see quite clearly to work that out. Well, this controversial work of art is not new. Photographer and artist Elizabeth Olsen Wallin, I was very surprised that it's not actually Olsen Wallinberg. Perhaps it's a crypto Jew. It's certainly a very Jewish thing to do. But this Elizabeth Olsen Wallin, she painted it in 2012 and then tried to donate it to the Skara Cathedral just before the church was preparing to conduct the first same-sex wedding in its 1,000-year history. So I like the way it says she tried to donate it. She tried to force it upon the cathedral, obviously. The point of that was hoping that the cathedral would say, no, we don't want this. And then she could accuse the cathedral of being homophobic right after it had just bent over backwards to appease the homosexual lobby by allowing them to desecrate the church by pretending to get married in it. I mean, a same-sex wedding is the equivalent of a black mass. It's the reversal of nature. It's the reversal of what a wedding is. This shows us just how fast this diversity agenda, the equality agenda, progresses, because just in 7 years, just since 2012, this was refused, this was seen as beyond the pale, and now 7 years later, the church is welcoming it, and they're putting it there in the centre as an altarpiece, not just hanging it on the wall, but as an altarpiece. What do you think of this, Grandpa, this progression that we're seeing here in diversity?
No, you got the terminology wrong. It's not bending over backwards. It would be bending over forwards. But yeah, no, exactly. And in 2012, like I say, in a lot of ways, this is like a test thing. In 2012, oh yeah, they weren't quite cucked enough. But you know, it didn't take long, did it? You know, just a few short years later, and yeah, they're going to embrace it. And you were talking about how the Muslims won't, like, you know, everybody's, oh my gosh, those Muslims. Yeah, at least they stand for something. At least they believe. You know, I mean, I obviously with different religions, I disagree with their religious views. But I mean, I have to have a begrudging amount of admiration for the fact that, I mean, they really believe it. They actually, I mean, believe their religion. They actually put their religion above, more important than their feels, than their self, than the approval of society, of Western society. You know, I mean, you have to hand it to them for that. How many people? So I was just talking, you know, about people just sitting there allowing this to happen. Nobody, you know, gets up and smashes it. Nobody wants to make a stand. Nobody wants to make any waves. How many of these people actually even believe this Christian stuff? I mean, really, is it not just like a place where you get together then to be polite or something? I don't know. I just, like I say, at least the Muslims stand up. Obviously, I'm not endorsing their Allah Akbaring and blowing people up or anything like that. But I mean, again, you have to hand it to them that at least they do seem to actually believe in their religion. I have to wonder if anybody in the modern cuck church even believes any of this stuff.
Well, the Pope came out this week and said that Christians aren't supposed to defend themselves and they're just supposed to let this thing go on, basically. But this is the Protestant church. And, you know, this slippery slope, they tell us it's a slippery slope fallacy. But this is the proof that this is what's going on. It is a slippery slope. And I have to agree with you there, Grandpa. At least the Muslims do take their religion seriously. At least it does appear to be a religion where people stick to the laws of it and don't want to be seen to be breaking them. Whereas the leaders in our Protestant churches are just at the forefront of progressing this degenerate agenda that they seem to love so much. The openly lesbian artist who has a history of blending religious imagery with pro-minority activism. I mean, just look at that. She's a lesbian and a minority activist. It doesn't say anything about her being a Christian there. I mean, how can she call herself a Christian if she's an open lesbian anyway, which goes against the laws of nature? St. Paul said that would be sent as a punishment for an insufficient love of the truth or whatever. And these people wouldn't realize that they were actually sinning. And you would think that if they'd actually read the Bible, they would understand that and they wouldn't do stupid, crazy things like pretending that God approves of homosexuality. Well, she said at the time that she wanted to test if the Church of Sweden was as gay-friendly as it claimed to be when it embraced same-sex marriage in 2009. The Skara Cathedral politely declined the gift, saying it was about political activism and not faith. So what is the difference now? Why is it suddenly different now in 2019? Suddenly it's acceptable to put this in a church. Why was it all about political activism then? But it's exactly the same perversion that they've got there now and exactly the same piece of cloth. And yet the church is now accepting it and apparently saying, oh, it's not about political activism anymore. It's about faith. I don't understand what their reasoning is for this. What do you think of an open lesbian deciding on what the altarpiece is going to be, Grandpa?
Well, the thing is, this is like a microcosm of what you see in conservatism. You know, a few short years ago, oh, no, we're against that. And now they embrace it. It is the same game being run in the modern cuck church as an organization, as you see with the conservative movement. They stood up in 2012 or a few years back and said, oh, no, yeah, we're against that or we can't have that. And a few short years later, it's a part of their values now. It defines, quote unquote, who we are. And none of this could, because, you know, none of this could happen unless the organization, you know, surrendered to it. I mean, and they were inevitably going to. There wasn't anybody there who was going. They'd already surrendered on the gay marriage. And she just openly said, that's why I said, this is like a trial to see, oh, you know, how far can we push? You know, and she even says it herself. She brought the whole thing forward as a gift to test them, to see how cucked they were. Well, they failed the cuck test. But don't worry, a few short years later, they're ready to embrace it. They're ready to go right along with it. And again, it's the same game being played as with conservatism. It's like fake opposition. Oh, we're against that. We're standing on our principles against it. A few short years later, that is a part of our values. It's a part of who we are. You know, we have to be polite and accepting of everything that spits in our face. Where's the outrage? There's no outrage. They're embracing it. And it just goes on and on. Who's going to make a stand? That would be rude. That would be so unchristian-like. And this is what you get.
Well, who does she think she is to be testing the church? I mean, does she think she's some kind of authority above the church? I mean, again, it says in the Bible that you shouldn't put God to the test, and yet she thinks she's in a position where she can test this church out. Well, the article tells us that, but over 7 years have passed, as if, oh, that's okay, 7 years have passed, so it's perfectly fine now. And now Wallen has got her way, even if it isn't in her home city. St. Paul's Church in Malmo accepted the painting called Paradise as its new altarpiece and unveiled it on Sunday, the first day of Advent. Helena Mürstener, the pastor, said that history was written in the hanging of the LGBT altarpiece, as she tweeted a photo of the painting. So what have we got there? We got a woman priest there as well. What does it say in the Bible? Suffer not a woman to teach or to be in authority over men. Basically, you will suffer the consequences of that if you do that. What example does the Bible tell us of what happened when women were allowed to teach? Well, Eve taught Adam to eat the apple. And that was the traditional church teaching on the example of why women should not be allowed to teach. They should not be put into positions of authority over men. And what does this woman priest do straight away? She says, oh, yes, that's fine. Let's have this mockery of paradise here. Let's claim that paradise is homosexuals engaging in sodomy, and that's actually what paradise is. Let's pretend that Adam was a sodomite. I mean, this is getting close to the Talmud, which talks about Adam having sex with all the animals in the garden. This is getting very close to that. And now it's right there for all the parishioners to see. I mean, just last week, again, in the Church of England, we had the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, telling the parishioners in the church that they should be correcting any passages in the Bible that are critical of Jews. They should be correcting it as if the Bible isn't, it's not good enough. God wasn't quite right when he was writing it. And we know better now. We're superior to that now. So we can correct what is written in the Bible. And this is what this pastor is pretty much saying by putting this in the church. She's saying that we know better than what it says in the Bible. That's all wrong, and God supports lesbian, gay, bi, and transsexual, and he'd be quite happy to have that celebrated right here on his altar. I mean, she's quite aware that this is absolutely scandalous, because she says history was written in the hanging of this. Yes, the destruction of the church. It's another nail in the coffin of the church. That's what it is.
Well, and you have to not look at these things in a vacuum. I mean, as you pointed out, you have the woman pastor. Okay, well, how many years ago did the church said, no, we don't allow women? You know, I mean, we follow the scripture. Women aren't to be in authority. They're not supposed to be pastors. They're not supposed to be priests or whatever title you want to hang on there. But you see, they cucked on that however many decades ago. It's all, you can't look at it in a vacuum. This is all a part of the timeline. And you asked, who is this artist, lesbian artist? Who do you think she is? As though she's some sort of authority. But she obviously is. She is in a position of authority, because to be an authority, that means somebody else has to be in submission. And you see right here, the church itself is in submission. There is somebody, she put this forward, and the church submitted to it. It's obviously a slap in the face. She's not celebrating anything. She's spitting in the face of people's very religious beliefs, and they're submitting to it. The church has submitted to it and embraced it, and now it's going to be a part of their values. So in that way, in the strict logical sense, she is an authority, because she's the one dictating, and the church is the one submitting. And so, yeah, you know, you got, you know, again, though, you look, have the timeline. Oh, well, we'll go ahead and have, we'll give in on the women priests. We'll have that, you know, and then it's the gay marriages. And now you have this. I mean, at some point in time, what are we going to have? Just, you know, we're going to replace Jesus with Satan. It sounds ridiculous, but why not? I mean, they have to, we all know they're not going to stop. So they'll be, what's going to be next? That's a fun game. We can play what's going to be next in the modern cut church. We're going to replace Jesus with the devil is actually the victim, perhaps. I mean, there is no end to it. And there apparently, when it comes to the church, there is no end to the being, you know, willing to submit whatever the world throws in front of them.
Well, the devil is already being presented as the victim. That's the whole Holocaust story there. And, you know, I mean, what you're saying there sounds outrageous, but that would be equality, wouldn't it? That would be equality, would be putting the devil in the place of Jesus. You know, it really wouldn't surprise me if this artist is the church priestess's girlfriend, because I can't really see this connection. As they point out, it's not from the hometown of where this artist is. So how did she get in touch with this this church priestess? And how did it come about that this was going to be put in this church after the cathedral had refused it? Well, Wallin's reimagining of paradise was inspired by one of the works by Renaissance master Lucas Cranach the Elder. But I mean, how can she say it was inspired by him? What was it? Was he a sodomite? Was he putting lewd sodomite pictures up? No, he wasn't. So how can she say she was inspired by him? The artist activist said she wanted to show that since the beginning of time, the place for gay people was in paradise rather than hell. Where on earth did she get that from? It wasn't Sodom destroyed in hellfire, weren't they all? Wasn't it all fire and brimstone, and they were sent straight to the afterlife because their souls were crying out to heaven for the sin that they were doing to themselves to be avenged? And yet this woman, this Wallin, she thinks she's an authority on this, and actually these Sodomites are up there in paradise buggering one another. I guess she means it's the straight people that are in hell. The modern interpretation, interestingly, seems more prudish in terms of nudity than the 16th century originals, as both lesbian Eves have their breasts covered by leaves rather than concealing only their genitals, as is traditional. I mean, I'm not sure what they're saying there. They're trying to say that this isn't actually crude. This isn't lewd. This isn't perverse because the breasts are covered by leaves. I mean, this is just absolute madness that this woman thinks that she can start telling people that homosexuals are actually in heaven and it's all the straight people that are in hell. I mean, and that's what's implied here, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but she is. I mean, you can't say that she can't be doing that. She's doing that very thing. And the church is going along with it. This woman isn't a Christian believer. She wanted to depict the gay people. She doesn't believe in any of this stuff. Obviously, she doesn't. She's obviously not a Christian believer in any stretch, way, shape, any form at all. She's an outsider, but she comes in. But the church is so corrupted. She can come in here and spit in everybody's faces. She can sit here and slap everybody in the face with this heresy. I mean, with this disgusting, where it's not meant to lift gay people up. It's to depict gay people as having a place in society and a place in heaven instead of hell. And they try to cover this up with a fig leaf of acting as though they're lifting homosexuals up. And that's a lie. They're not elevating homosexuals here. It's easy to make that misconception. These people don't care anything really about that. It's about spitting in your face. It's about spitting in the face of people's religion and people's Christianity and their beliefs. It's not about lifting the homosexuals up. It's about insulting you. It's about making you submit. It's just the same thing. If you'll submit to your religious beliefs, then you're, you know, it's a great form of submission. It's why this whole transgender thing now has moved on to kids. Because if you'll submit to this sort of thing being shoved on your children, if you'll submit to an assault on your children, you'll submit to any. I mean, that's generally like that final line that you better not cross with people is messing with their kids. But yet, it's again, they want you to submit to that. They'll spit in the face of your religion. They don't try this they don't try this in the mosque. They don't try this on the Muslims because they know they won't submit. But the modern cuck church most certainly will.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, this is the chastising. God chastises his children. He doesn't chastise the bastards, but he chastises his children. And if you won't submit to God, then he will send all these perverts and non-whites and degenerates, and you'll end up submitting to them. and you'll end up kowtowing to them, which is exactly what is going on here. You know, this is biblical prophecy. If you go against, you know, God's teaching, then this is always the result of it, as well as foreigners coming in and taking over your country. And that's exactly what it says. If you don't honor your father and your mother, then foreigners will come in and they'll take over the country. If you allow a stranger to rule over you, he will make your life hell. And this is what they have in Sweden. They have hell. We have hell in all white countries now, but Sweden in particular. Getting back to this artist here, it is probably not because the artist has problems with nudity. After all, her most famous photo exhibition, the 2012 Bible-inspired Ecce Homo, featured an image portraying the baptism of Jesus with a model standing for Christ having his penis fully exposed. I mean, this is just, you know, this is just sick. This isn't art, is it? This is just insulting Christianity. And I'm amazed that anybody Christian could go along with this and say that this is okay. This is blasphemous. It's heretical. It's disgusting. I think it's just the title of it, Ecce Homo. What's that supposed to mean? Ecclesia Homo, ecological Homo, and they have the cheek here to say that it's actually Bible inspired. It's not Bible inspired. It's inspired by Satan. That's what it is. It's the reversal of everything. It's the adversary, the accuser, the reversal of the natural law. That's what these people are celebrating, and that's what they're forcing the church to celebrate. Because the people in the church have rejected God and they've gone against their traditions, they're being made monkeys out of by the enemies of God. It's amazing that people can't actually see that. We can see it. But the general public, the people that aren't nationalists, the people that haven't woken up to this, you know, they just go along with this. Thankfully, the people are leaving the Church of Sweden just as much as they are leaving the Church of England. And what do you make of this exhibition of hers, Ecce Homo, with Jesus with his penis fully exposed, Grandpa?
Well, again, the natural order, I always tell people, the way to think of the natural order is like an automated system. You know, God doesn't have time to micromanage everything that happens on Earth. So he establishes the natural order, which acts as a computer program, essentially, to basically keep things in balance. So, and it will balance out. You can push against it for a while, but it'll eventually balance out. And in the end, the strong will rule over the weak. I mean, that's the natural order. And what amazes me is that you look at the Muslim invasion of a country such as Sweden in this case, and people stand amazed and people sit here and say, there's no way God will allow a Christian nation such as Sweden in this instance, but you could insert pretty much any Western country, to be overrun and ruled by Muslims. Why the hell would he? What's Christian about the church here in this instance? The Muslims, as we pointed out, they're the stronger ones in this. They'll hold to their convictions. They won't take being jacked with. They won't take their religion being spit upon in their faces. So in this case, when it comes to this topic here, the Muslims are the strong. So as the natural order is reestablished, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see these nations put in submission under Islam. I really wouldn't. People say, that's not going to happen. Why wouldn't it? You know, why would God not use it? Doesn't matter that they're not Christians. Doesn't matter that they don't believe in the same God that we do. It matters not, because, again, the natural order is a strong rule over the weak, and it doesn't get much weaker than your church rolling over with their lesbian, you know, artist and their female pastor embracing homosexual marriage. I mean, it doesn't get any weaker than this. It's submit, 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 submit. And at some point in time, those people will be replaced by those who won't submit, and the natural order will be restored. It's a mistake that people, Christian believers in particular, make, that just because they hang the term Christian on themselves, just because they hang that term on their nation and on their people, that God will not use a non-believing, stronger people to rebuke them, to crush them, because they're of no use to them. These people, this submissive attitude, this cucked out attitude that you see here is of absolutely no use to God. You're worse than a complete non-believer, because you're claiming to be a believer and yet you're not. And you are making a mockery of God himself by claiming to be a believer while at the same time embracing this wickedness, this debauchery, these things of the world.
Yeah, Muslims are the scourge of God. And you look back in the Bible and what happened to Israel and Judah, they were invaded by Assyria and Babylon, and Assyria and Babylon took over. And they weren't worshippers of Yahweh, they were worshippers of other gods, but they were used by God to punish Israel and Judah. And that's what's happening now, this invasion of all the refugees. That's the armies of Gog and Magog that have encircled the camp of the saints, which is us. It's all predictable, everything that we are seeing here. Thankfully, people are leaving the Church of Sweden, the state church of the Scandinavian country until 2000, and still by far its largest denomination, prides itself on embracing a laundry list of woke agendas. But despite this, Swedes have been leaving the church in record numbers lately, according to surveys. And of course, I just want to point out that when you were saying there, Grandpa, about why hasn't someone gone in there and attacked this, you know, obviously we're not encouraging people to carry out property damage or vandalism. People should be going nowhere near this church. People should be having nothing whatsoever to do with this. This is not a church of God. This is sacrilegious. This is heresy. This is the promotion of everything that we are against, and I would advise people to just stay away from it. And thankfully, plenty of Swedes do appear to be doing just that. As it says here, they are leaving. Judging by some comments on social media, the new altarpiece will not be helping with stopping the exodus. Quote, "The politicization has gone too far," close quote. One member commented on the news as she announced leaving the church. Another one said that while there were plenty of enlightened priests in the Church of Sweden, radicals from a PC pack have turned it into their own arena. I don't think these people are going far enough. I mean, they say, oh, the politicization, it's gone too far now. It's gone too far now that we've got a homosexual orgy on the altar. But does that mean that this person is okay with women priests? Are they okay with transgender priests? Are they okay with celebrations for people that change their gender? Are they okay with gay marriage? I mean, why weren't they speaking up at that point? Why does it take homosexual orgies on the altar before people will actually speak out on this? Do you want to comment on all these people that are leaving the church, Grandpa?
Yeah, well, I mean, there comes a time when the organization is so converged that all you can do is walk away from it. But as you pointed out, you know, this is kind of this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. But as we've shown, you know, this is the result of decades of cucking. You know, at some point in time, you know, when do people react by not simply just putting up with it, cucking, and then you get a straw that breaks the camel's back and they run away? You know, it's like, well, yeah, it's so converged that now we're going to leave it. I mean, yeah, that's the proper course of action now. But I mean, the next, where are you going to go to? You just going to give up on your religion altogether? Or are you going to go to another church? Well, if you go to another church, start a new denomination. We're going to start a new denomination. But if the new denomination isn't going to make any sort of stand, it's just a matter of time before you're right back at square one. At some point in time, people have got to be willing to stop running away, stop, you know, bailing out, stop putting up with cucking. And then when it gets so bad, say, oh, this is too bad, we've got to bail on this. At some point in time, people got to be willing to stand up and, you know, say, no, you know, we've decided we've got to have women priests. Somebody's got to say, no, it's not going to happen. Well, we'll come back and push for it in 5 years. You better not, because you won't, because we're excommunicating you. We're throwing you, yes, throwing your ass out of our church. You know, I mean, that's the way you stop this. When somebody starts first pops up with this crap, you've got to say, you've got your church, you've got, you know, it's scripturally doctrine, boy, and then you've got somebody that crops up and says, well, that's all fine and well and good, but this is current year. We need to have women priests. You immediately take that person and you cast them out. You don't say, no, we're not going along with that, because they'll just wait. They'll bide their time. They'll get themselves in a position where they can bring more people like them in, and then they'll overrule you until your church is so subverted. This doesn't happen overnight. They brought enough people into the church to subvert it, and yeah, they'll destroy it. It'll eventually collapse on itself, true, but these locusts will move into your next church, and they'll destroy it too. If you're not willing to stand up and say, yeah, no, not only are we not going along with it, but the very fact that you suggested it, guess what? Your ass is out of here. We're throwing you out of our church. Go to hell. Go to hell. Get out of here. You're not welcome here anymore. We're not going to sit here and say, oh, well, maybe you're just misguided. At some point in time, can you imagine somebody standing up in a mosque and saying, we've got to have female imams, and the mosque being simply like, oh, no, well, no, we're not going to do that. Maybe in a few years when we're, when it's a different current year. No, that person would never dare do that, because they're liable to get stoned to death. They're liable to get their head chopped off. So they don't try, and all we're talking about here is excommunicating somebody. Say, no, the fact that you would just suggest such a thing means that you're a subverter. You're a troublemaker. We're casting your ass out of the church, and don't come back. Oh, but we can't do that. Again, we're the religion of politeness. We're the religion of the doormat. Make no mistake, you can leave these, and yes, I mean, there comes a point, this church is so far gone, all you can do is leave it. You're not going to reverse that tide. But for goodness sakes, the next one you go to, at some point, if you're not willing to make a stand, this will be the outcome. This will be the outcome, because this is outcome when you have a submission mentality and when you basically are willing to be a doormat.
We're the religion of ignoring what the religion says. That is exactly what St. Paul said, is send them out of the church for the devil to deal with. Exactly what you just said there, Grandpa. It's the same trick that's been pulled right since the beginning of time. The idea that man can build his own kingdom of heaven on earth, basically by giving in to all man's passions and giving in to all man's temptations, and that's what causes people to go along with this. They think that they know better than God, and that we can build heaven here on earth. We can't build heaven here on earth. We live in a corrupt world, and what the Bible says is, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Which means buckle under, stick to the laws that God gave us, and have nothing to do with these people. Don't get involved with them. Just get involved with other God-fearing people that stick to natural law and God's law, because God's law is natural law. I mean, that's what it tells us. Come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon the Great, because that's what we're living in. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much to the listeners for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.